Hello everyone, I'm Jean-Christophe Gagnon-Audet and today I'm going to present to you the WOODS project, a set of benchmarks for out-of-distribution generalization in time series tasks. So a quick outline for today, we're going to start with a quick introduction of the OOD generalization field. Then we're going to go through some related works, and then I'm going to present the bulk of the project in the WOODS section. Finally, we're going to finish with some conclusions and outlook for the project. So a quick introduction to out-of-distribution generalization. Let's explain the field with a concrete example. Say you woke up one day and you wanted to train a computer vision model that was able to distinguish between cows and camels. Now, everybody knows that machine learning algorithms need a lot of data to work upon. So one approach you can take is go on Google and search for cows and camels and save all of the image you can find and make one big data set out of that. Then you could label those images cows and camels respectively and feed those images to a machine learning model that is represented by our robot here and train on those labeled examples. Eventually, after a couple of epochs, the model would eventually be able to perform pretty good on this training set that you give it, and you would get pretty good accuracy, like say 95%. And this is his way of saying to you, I understand what you want me to do with this data sets, this data set, and I am really good at it. Then a couple of weeks later, you're on vacation on the beach and you see a cow. And you wonder, could my machine learning model be able to classify this as a cow? So you take a picture of this cow on the beach and you take it back home with you, plug it in your computer and feed it to the model. To your surprise, the model would classify this as a camel and it would be really confident about it. Now, obviously this is a failure of the model because obviously this is a cow and the model is really confident that this is a camel. But why is that? What's changed between the training paradigm where we give it one big data set of cows and camels and the testing paradigm where you perform inference on the model on some image? Well, here what happened is the model learned from the training data set that all of the cow images was on green pastures and all of the camels on the data set was on sand. So it found a quick and easy solution to the data set where it just checked on the background. If it was green, it labeled it as a cow. And if it was beige or orange, it labeled it as a camel. And that successfully minimized the loss of the model. But then when you come into the testing regime and you give it a cow on a beach, then it just looks at the background and it sees sand. So it classifies this as a camel without even looking at the animal. Now we classify this as distributional shift between the training and the testing regime. More concretely, just to look back, there's been great progress in the field of ML in the last two decades. However, machine learning still fails to generalize to data that is out of distribution of its training data. That is, the machine learning learns correlation in the data instead of the cause. Well, that is very worrying for future real-life applications, such as medicine, where a model might help a doctor perform diagnostics. If the model just learned correlation and not the cause of things, it could lead to really big problems. More formally, when you learn a machine learning model, you try to learn the relationship between the data X and the label Y, that is the distribution P of X and Y. One can split this distribution to P of Y given X, that is the relationship between the label and the data, that is the correlation, and P of X, which is the distribution of the data itself. Now, within those two distributions, One can define multiple kinds of shifts, such as covariate shift, correlation shift, and diversity shifts. Now, instead of getting into all of those, I created a challenge meter here, where in the middle is the easiest thing you can do in terms of shifts, and on the side, it's the hardest things. In the middle here, you have the more classic scenario where you train on some data set that is similar to the one that you're going to test on. So that might mean you train a model on pictures of ImageNet, and then you test the same model on pictures from, say, SciFAR10. And these, between those two data sets, there's small shifts in the data are not too big, but it still poses a challenge. On the right here, you got big shifts in P of X, so this the distribution of the data itself. So one example of this might be you train on pictures of cows and camels, and then you test on images that are cows and camels, but in different ways of representing it. So say cartoons of cows and camels and drawings of cows and camels. Now here the causal thing stays. What the cow consists of is the same thing, but it's just different ways of representing it. So the X itself shifts between training and testing. So here there's big parts of the space of P of X that is unexplored during training that you might hope to generalize to during testing. So that is a really hard scenario to do, and that is called diversity shift. On the left here, you get big shifts in P of Y given X. So here, this is the scenario we saw at the beginning, where there is a correlation between the label and the data. That is, here in the cow and camel example, is the background, either green pastures or sandy backgrounds. That is what we call a spurious feature. And this spurious feature might not hold in the future. It might hold in the training data set, but it might not hold in the future. So how do we go about solving those distributional shifts problem? Well, we can group data into subsets, such as instead of just Googling cows and camels, you could Google cows in the UK and camels in the UK, take all of the images you can find, make one data set out of this, and then do the same thing with Egypt. And then you have two subsets of data across which you hope that there is some distributional shift. And after that, you feed those two data sets to one model. And you yourself, the data scientist or like the machine learning scientist, you tell the model to find a solution that is invariant between those two domains. So that gives some possibility for the model to learn something that is the cause instead of some correlation that might shift between those two subsets of data. And here I put asterisks on this because this is where all of the most of the research in OD works upon is to find ways to impose this invariant representations. Now for some related works. What are some existing benchmarks for out of distribution generalization? Well, let's draw a quick timeline of the field. I mean, it's pretty young, so it's going to be pretty short. We got 3 points here. So in 2019, there was the paper Invariant Risk Minimization. There was kind of the birth of the modern OD generalization field as we know it, where it presented this failure mode of cow versus camel problem, where of distributional shift and correlation shift. It introduced this invariance as a constraint to the model in order to learn the cause of the data. And it popularized the domain-defined data sets. After that, 1 year later, there was the first kind of conglomerate of benchmarks, which was 7 static image benchmarks. And it also provided a collection of algorithms in order to work on those data sets. And it provided a systematic evaluation of OD generalization performance on those data sets. Now, a couple of months later in 2021, there was the Wilds project that came out, which is a collection of six static image, one molecular graph, and three NLP tasks. And the scope of this motivation of this work is to be really create benchmarks that are inspired by the real world problems and shifts. And so by looking at those two conglomerate of benchmarks in the OD field, one might notice that looking at the modalities, there is one thing missing. There is no time series benchmarks. However, time series are really important to lots of fields, including medical that deals with EEG data, fMRI data, MEG data, the natural sciences that wants to study dynamical systems, they want to study physics and climate, and also finance is a really big research subject, and video comprehension. All of those are time-dependent data. They're very complex systems, and they require a whole another class of ML models just for themselves in order to work for these time series tasks. So time series are important, but are completely absent in the current benchmarks for OOD generalization. And this is where woods come in. We want to provide a new set of time series benchmarks that comes and fills this timeline to cover all of the modalities of data possible. So woods comprise of a set of benchmarks, and secondly, a test bed for fair evaluation of current and future methods in the field of OOD generalization. So what are the current data sets we have? All of our data sets are free and open source. We currently have seven, which each of them have their own motivation and goal behind them. So we can go through our five real world data sets here, just to provide like an idea of the scope for each of those. So first there's the CAP data set. The task of the CAP data set is to classify the sleep stage of patients using EEG measurements. And the motivation for this data set is that there is a recurrent problem in the field of computational medicine, where model trained on one data coming from one machine doesn't generalize to data coming from other machines. So that means in this scenario, models trained on data coming from one EEG element will not generalize to, or won't well generalize to, data coming from another EEG element. Failure to generalize to unseen machines can lead to significant problems within an institution, because they can lead to a false sense of confidence in a model that could lead to false diagnostic. So here we group data into different domains or different subsets of data, where each domains contains data from a different machine, and the goal is to generalize to an unseen machine. Next, we have the Sleep EDF Extended dataset, or SEDFX for short. The task is the same as the last one, is to classify the sleep stage of sleeping patients using EEG measurements. And the motivation for this is that the ultimate goal of computational medicine is to train a model on a small subset of data coming from a small subset of patients in order to use this model on a wide array of future patients in order to help make diagnostics. And so there might be demographic shifts between the data we use to train and the data we use to test the model on or help make diagnostic. And so the generalization of this model from the training data and the testing data is really not guaranteed. So this is what we want to study here. We group the data into different age groups, and we want to see if models are able to generalize to unseen age groups. Next, we have the PCL dataset. It's the task is a motor imagery. So there is a patient that has an EEG element to measure signal, brain signals, and they imagine in their head moving either the left or right hand. And the goal is to guess which hand they are thinking of moving. So aside from the previously mentioned demographic shift in the medical domain and the shift that induced from different